It's always a joy for me to come to church, and especially when we do this combined service, it's a blessing for my soul to be among our brothers and see and enjoy the church multilingual. I think next time we do it, I will encourage you to sing one of those stanzas in Spanish. Sounds good, right? Right? I'm probably in Arabic, right? Who knows? As long as you have the English, you can see and understand, you will be fine. About 3 weeks ago, we had our elders meeting, and while we were talking, our brother Jerry brought this text, and then meditating in that, meeting, understanding that Pastor Matt was going to be away from the pulpit for the rest of the month. So impressed my heart so much, these two verses in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, and understanding that there were a chance for me to come and share the word of God with you, then I decided to share this with you. That is not precisely a Christmas message, so I do apologize for that. However, I think it's good because it's a message that will help us to think, looking backward, the year that passed, and looking forward, the one that we have in front of us. So it's going to be about prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So let us open up John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. And I will read it to you. And please let us join in prayer after that. Is there any chance I can get a water? I already need it. I haven't started, but I'm so nervous that... Thank you, Pastor Matt. Thank you. All right, let me read, and then, like I said, we will pray after that. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, these I will do, that the Father, thank you, may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we come in your name and ask your blessing as you promise, because 2, 3 or more are gathered here in your name to worship you and wait from you. You know the weakness of your servant. You know the need of your servant and your people. And we ask, desperately, come and bless us today. Speak to us, O Lord, because we need it. And if anyone doesn't know you here, oh, may it be the time to know the living Christ. In him, O Father, Son, we pray, give us your spirit. Amen. A Newsweek poll titled, Is God Listening?, indicated that of those who pray, 87% believe that God answers their prayers at least some of the time. Even so, unanswered prayers did not deter them from praying. 85% insisted that they could accept God's failure to grant their prayers. Did you hear that? Only 13% declare they have lost faith because their prayers went unanswered. 82% don't run away from God even when their prayers go unanswered. 54% say that when God doesn't want her, I mean, does not answer their prayers, it means it wasn't God's will to answer. To be honest with you, this percentage, we just forget it immediately. I just want to share you the point here. We pray, and many times we don't get the answer we're praying from our God. Do I have an amen on that? Okay, we're together. Now, I have a quick question, personal question for you. How many times do you think, at least, that you pray last year, 2018? Have you think about it? Let me suggest a number. What about 6 times a day? 3 times before you eat, 1 time in the morning for your devotion, 1 time before you go to bed, and probably something else during the day that forces you to go in prayer. So 6 times seems to be fair, isn't it? So if that is the case, you multiply that by 365, you end up approximately 2,200 times you prayed last year. Sounds fair? Okay. Now, how many times did you, at the end of your prayer, end up like this? In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, for a time myself, I felt like I didn't pray if I didn't end it that way. But again, do you know what exactly that means? Are you aware that many times in the name of Jesus, we ask things that Jesus wouldn't ask? That we're praying in his name and probably against his name? Would that be possible? In light of that, I think it would be an encouragement, I hope so, that we pay attention to these words, because listen carefully what the Lord says here. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Let me read it again, because whatever in Spanish has a very interesting definition. Whatever means whatever, which means everything, all right? It's not difficult. And listen to him. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. So that immediately should be a powerful encouragement to each one of us. Let us ask. Let us pray. Because whatever we ask in his name, he will do. Let's see him working. That should be the case. However, Jesus Christ himself warned us on how not to pray. Matthew 6, 5 through 8 is a long, kind of long verse. I will read it. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street's corner, that they may be seen by others. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I don't know if this has happened in your home, but I'm sure it has happened in my home, that we pray before we eat, and we start serving, and before we start eating, somebody say, aren't we going to pray? And we just finished praying. So it means that we didn't pay attention at all, that we did it. That may be the case, at least I confess, in my home. James also teaches something about wrong manner of pray. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions, James 4:3. Now again, pay attention to this. This is from the lips of the true Savior, the truth. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Have you ever been praying and all of a sudden you see yourself in Greece or in a cruise or somewhere else and then you realize, oh, I'm praying, and then you try to come back? So, I mean, that is a battle right there. But the promise remained, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Will you tell your neighbor, this is what my Lord said. Whatever I ask in his name, he will do. You share that with your neighbor, please. Okay. Now, why is the Lord encouraging his disciples to pray? There are several reasons here in the context. First, Judas' betrayal is predicted. Chapter 13, 21 and following. Peter's denial is also predicted. Verse 36, chapter 14. And the Lord himself is going away and leaving them. 14:2b. Another counselor is promised. However, the way to communicate by now on is going to be by prayer. Prayer is necessary not to inform God of the things that he doesn't know. He already knows. And the text we read before, this is what it says, Matthew 6:8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So why should I pray if he already knows what I'm going to pray? And I can make it a little bit more complicated. He even ordains our words while we pray, because it's the Spirit of God who leads us to pray. And according to Romans 8, there is great comfort in that truth, because when I pray for somebody who is not saved or my children who are walking not with the Lord, I understand the Spirit of God is leading me to pray like that, because God in his sovereign purpose has the purpose to do that. Now, why will I pray when God has ordained everything? Whatever he ordained is going to happen no matter if I pray or not. Okay, we must pray anyway. And I don't want to leave that in your mind just so you don't pay attention to the rest of the sermon. But let me tell you this. This is how it works. God has ordained to do certain things. And he moves us to pray. And when we pray, we are aligned with his decree, and then he answers for the glory of his name. And he has said, if you pray, you will receive. So we pray. And when we pray, God is working in us, and God has a plan with that. It's necessary to pray because Christ commanded us to pray. Now listen to this quote. We do not obey the Lord simply because we want our prayers answered, somehow like the attitude of a child just before Christmas. We obey him because we love him. And the more we obey him, the more we experience his love. We must pray because when we pray, the Father may be glorified in the Son. And I will expand that a little bit more later. We must pray because prayer is a powerful means to remove from our heart all trouble. And it's part of our Lord teaching to his troubled disciples. And also we pray, obviously, for the benefit of others. Now, in the following time, I just want to share with you from this passage three things. A person talking. We must pay attention who is talking here. Secondly, a promise given. What is the promise we have here? And finally, a purpose revealed. A person talking, a promise given, a purpose revealed. Let us move on to a person talking. Not always when a person talks, we must pay full attention. When the devil talks, we must not hear his advice. But we must listen with our heart, with all our mind and strength, carefully to the one that is talking here. When you read in your Bible, truly, I tell you, who is that I? Who is that person? We can see clearly in the whole chapter some clearly statement about who is he. Since the beginning of this chapter, we can see he is God himself. John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He is God, verse 8 through 11, prove that. He is the unique, the only one mediator. He's the one that is between God, the Father, and us. John 14, 5 and 6, prove that. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. This is the sixth of Jesus' seven I am, stated in the Gospel of John. So he is God. He is the one sitting at the right hand of the Father and who went to his Father's house to prepare a place for his disciple. He is the one who promised his presence forever. Verse 15, all treasures of wisdom are with him. And let me quote clearly here the preeminence of Jesus in this teaching. Truly, truly, I say to you, believe in me, in my name, works I do, I am going to the Father, as in my name, these I will do, glorify in the Son. You ask me, my name, I will do it. So it's full of him. He is the one talking. And if we're going to make any progress in our Christian life, in our life of discipline, of prayer, we have to focus our heart in him. From him comes all good from God. All promises are in him. John begins the gospel like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you know that's Christ. Paul speaks of these pre-existent glory in superlative terms. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he may have the supremacy. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. The writer of Hebrews says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, Hebrews 1, 3. And later, John the Apostle has a vision of Christ in heaven as a lamb before the throne, receiving the praise due to his name. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Then looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousand upon thousand, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircle the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. This is the one talking here. It's not me. This is him. And this is a personal word he has for you. Whatever you ask in my name, you finish. What did he say? You know, I'm getting much progress. I'm already put you to sleep before I begin. So let me hear from you. Whatever you ask in my name, this. Okay, you better get out of here having that clear in your mind. Whatever I ask in his name, he will do it. He will do it. And we must leave with that confidence, because it's not said by anyone, but God himself came and said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Then Revelation 5 says, to him who sits in the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Now, you know, when we see the text graphically, this is what I see here. Truly, truly, I say to you, and let me put it this way. You know, we have a Spanish meal after the service. We look forward to see you all eating our food after the service, okay? But let me prepare you for that food. Let's say we have like a kind of hamburger in this text. Sound very North American. It doesn't work in my country, but so hamburger. It's usually bread, meat, bread. But when you see the text, I would say that we have a kind of meat, meat, meat here. Three powerful truths. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, listen, will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. That's the top. Center. Whatever you ask in my name, these I will do, that the Father may be glorifying the Son. And that's the third layer, that the Father may be glorifying the Son. Each one of them can be enough to meditate, and rejoice in that. Having said that, let us move to the second part of our text. Not only seeing who a person is talking, but a promise is given here. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, these I will do. We can see here probably two promises right here. Some clarifications are needed. When he says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, really, what is he saying? Shall we be able to multiply bread and fish? Walk in the water? Lake Michigan? I won't take the chance to try that, especially with that cold water. Is he saying we can be just call somebody from the death after 4 days? I don't think so. So what is exactly he saying? He empowers believers to do God's work on earth. But greater works, things, would apply initially to the apostles who were listening to this. They were listening to this. But these miracles were not greater, listen, in quality, for the servant is not greater than his Lord, but rather in scope and quantity. Peter preached one sermon, and 3,000 sinners were converted in one day. The fact that ordinary people performed these signs made them even more wonderful and brought great glory to God. The apostle would not necessarily do more stupendous miracles than Jesus in order to honor his name. All right. But their outreach would be greater. Of course, it's not the believer himself who does these greater things. It is God working in and through the believers. The Lord working with them. For it is God which worketh in you, Philippians 2:13. Faith and work must always go together. For it is faith that relieves the power of God in our life. Whatever and anything must be understood, secondly, as things that are not prohibited in the Word of God, as things that are aligned with the Word of God. The Lord never had a chance to be online. You know that? None of his sermon was in the internet, in the web. But probably, if everything goes as planned, 2 hours from now, you can do click and you will see this face again online, whatever you are. Our Lord never had the chance. And this message can be in a matter of minutes around the world. That's exactly what he is saying. whatever and anything does it means against his word, his will. The last verse in this session has been fuel for much debate regarding proper interpretation and application, says a commentator. Was Jesus saying that we have unlimited power over God in determining what he will or will not do for us if we simply pray in Jesus' name? Clearly not. For these would be out of accord with the rest of the scriptural witness. And finally, every promise in the Bible is conditional. Every promise. Whoever, listen to the condition, believe in me. Whatever you ask in my name, these I will do. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. But you can say, Pastor, I just finished all my prayers like that. I understand that. But probably you finished like that, but you didn't pray in Jesus' name, really, as the scriptures teach. That's the thing. What is to pray in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name means that we ask what Jesus would ask. We pray what Jesus would pray, what pleased him, what would bring him glory by furthering his work. Now, we can self-deceive ourselves very easy. I have a good friend in the Dominican Republic. Was his wife's birthday, and he wants to please her, purchasing a very expensive gift for her. So he went to the store, and he got a huge plasma high-definition TV. Now, it's interesting that his wife never sees TV. He is the one who sees TV. You get the point? Sometimes we pray and ask Jesus something to please him when, in fact, we're pleasing ourselves. I want this for your glory. It's Christ's glory or your own glory what you're looking for? And that's exactly what James says. You ask, but you ask in the wrong way with the wrong motivation. Listen, God is not giving us, and I don't know if I will pronounce this well, carte blanche. Is that right? What? Okay, everybody's awake now. Okay. Carte blanche. Carte blanche. He's not giving us that. In my name is the controlling element here. In my name. To know God's name, Christ's name, Jesus' name, means to know his nature, what he is, and what he wants to do. God answered prayer in order to honor his name. Therefore, prayer must be in his will. The first request in the Lord's Prayer is, hallowed be thy name. Because in everything I pray, what I'm looking for is that God may be exalted. His name may be known. Not my name. Not what I want. Not what I dream. But what is his dream? What is his will? What does God wants? That's what I should seek in prayer. And that fits perfectly. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Any request that does not glorify God's name should not be asked in his name. Because probably it's not only wrong, but it's a lie. And it's sinful. God is sovereign over all and subject to none. We are to pray in accordance with the will of God as exhibited in the life and teaching of Jesus, when we pray in that manner, certainly it will be answered. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray in accord with Jesus' will and mission. Are we together? So probably, but this time you may understand, maybe I've been praying in his name, not knowing exactly what I'm asking here. I've been praying at the end for my own glory, but not for his glory. Have I pondered that? Have you wondered why in Gethsemane, listen, we're told that the Lord went to pray, and he prayed for an hour. And when you read in your Bible, how long takes you to read what he prayed for an hour? Have you seen that? How long do you think? What did he pray? He can help me with that. What did he pray? Father, what? Thy will be done. And then he said about his will, what? Not my will. Thy will be done. An hour. Was he that kind of person who is a slow talker? You know, good morning. No. You know not. So why that took an hour, but not only one? How many times we know he prayed the same prayer? Three times. That was him. That really immediately let me think, wait. When we come to pray to God, we must choose carefully our words. Sometimes it's just to be in silence in his presence and listen to what God has to tell me. And probably the thing would be come to his presence in silence and the Spirit of God comes upon me and I start crying. And crying. And crying. Because I'm in the presence of the Holy God, the Holy One. I'm a sinner. And sometimes we jump into the presence of God like those of our kids who, at any moment you're talking and they start, da. Okay, what's up? We just want to be in the stage. We have a person talking. We have a promise. What is the promise that Jesus is giving each one of us here? Would you remind me that? I keep forgetting things, you know. You don't know how much. So what is he promising each one of us to you? What is he promising you here? Would you tell me? Whatever? That's what he's promising you. Jesus is telling you, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Would you personalize that and put your name there? Whatever you ask Jose, because he knows my name, I will do it. Isn't that something of great encouragement? But now let's move on to the third point. A purpose reveal. When our Lord Jesus Christ commanded his disciples, he does not have to reveal the reason for his commandment. He's God. And he say, pray, we should pray, not knowing why, but we should pray. He's God. He don't have to give us any reason why he commanded anything. But he's so gracious that he encouraged us and telling us that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That is why you will ask in his name, to see the Father glorified, magnified, exalted, known, revealed in his Son. So let me say that again. When I pray, instead of seeking my own glory, my desire, my dream, I'm praying in Christ's name, using his words, his promises, to see the Father exalted in the Son. The Father make known. The Father reveal. The Father power working. I cannot say it better than John Piper. And bear with me while I read this to you. It all begins to make sense. God aims to glorify himself in everything he does. And the glory of his self-sufficient power and wisdom shines most brightly, not when he looks like he depends on the work of others, but when he makes plain that he himself does the work. He has the broad shoulders. And what makes this so amazing for prayers is that he virtually invites us to load him down with our burdens. Do not be anxious about anything, but let your request be made known to God. Philippians 4:6. Cast all your anxieties on him. 1 Peter 5:7. This invitation takes on tremendous power when we see God's glory is at stake. That's amazing. It's not my glory, it's God's glory. What is in stake here? If we come to him thinking he needs our help, we make him look needy. But if we remember that his strength is shown in working for us, then we are motivated to come with new confidence. And he gives this example. Okay, Lord, here is my impossible situation. You name it. Please, show yourself strong and help me. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, this is too much for me. You know what? This year was too difficult. I saw this, that. I'm ready to go to heaven. I can't resist. I can't go on with this. Show yourself powerful. That those who are around me, who knows my anxiety, my sadness, my weakness, may see how your power become perfect in my weakness. Those who don't know you may see how that those who wait in the Lord will have new strength. Not that I may be seeing a Superman. No. Leave me down here in the dust, but they may see your glory and your power. They may see that there is a God who hears prayers. The goal of unanswered prayers, the goal of answered prayers is to bring glory to the Father and bearing fruit that glorifies the Father, John 15:8. So I hope that you and me, we are both aligned in one thing here. When he says, whatever you pray in my name, that means that I will represent his will, not mine. So I will take out of his word and pass it to him again. Lord, this is what you said, that you were going to give me your peace. At this moment, I cannot hold my soul. I'm in desperation. I need your peace. And he said, if you ask that I promise in my name, because I promise that, not for the glory of your own strength, self-control, but for the glory of God, that you may prove, yeah, God is with me. I was about to get crazy, but he came to me and gave me his peace. I'm in peace. My God is real. Again, since we are so honest here, I can tell you anything, and I know it will stay in privacy here. Quick, honest question. Have you ever been in a meeting, you know, meeting, prayer meeting, and by the time they say, let's pray, and you bow your head and say, wait a minute, is this really working? Is anybody listening there? I don't know, because it may seem like the foolishness. We're talking to the air. I cannot see him. Think about it. People see us, and they can immediately say, oh, this is a crazy, because in my country, crazy people talk with themselves. So if you see about a person talking with, you know, against the air, you say, something's not right there. So when we talk for this world, we may look insane when we pray. Because we're talking with ourselves. I remember the story of those children who loved to, by the end of the day, they draw near to her father's bedroom door because they loved to hear him talking to his God. He was by himself, but he was talking, oh, Father, what happened here? And then they say, oh, listen, 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 listen. So, yeah. We're talking to a God who hears prayers, who has commanded us to pray, and who promised that he will do everything that we ask in his name and for the glory of the Father. What is that specifically, that the Father may be exalted? And I just want to head to the end here. That is that the name of the Father, the power, the glory, the reality, the existence of God, there is a God, may be seen through the answer of this prayer. That's what it is. What a powerful word of encouragement we have here. Take it from the Lord himself. Whatever you ask, I will do it. Now, my brothers, sisters, probably you have a person you have been praying for years. Probably there is a person that you have been in the throne of God asking his blessing night after night with tears, and nothing has happened. I can tell you about it. Every morning with my wife praying, and we haven't seen any change. Shall we stop, or we trust him who said that he will do it? Have you noticed the text didn't say, I will do it by noon? He didn't put a time. I will do it. Keep praying and trusting Jesus. Maybe you won't see the answer, but he is faithful. And he will do it. My wife went through a situation of seeing her mother very sick, very weak. And the signals that her days here were about to finish. And when he went there, she was afraid to pray like Jesus. And she confessed that to me. Because this is what the Lord said. Your will be done, not mine. And she wanted her mother to stick around for longer, but she didn't want to say, let your will be done. Just in case his will was not what she wanted. But my brothers and sisters, let us pray with confidence, because his will is always, always, always much better than our will. Amen. Let us pray with confidence. Lord, this is what I want. You know my weakness. You know I've been working for this for years. This is what I would like to see. Even I think that certainly your name is going to be exalted through this. But at the end, I don't know how you're going to be exalted on this. Because our God is so great that he exalt himself and show himself powerful in life and in death, in health and sickness. This is our Lord in John 17. Glorify your Son. And he clearly say that he will glorify the Father, and the Father will glorify in him. But that's going to be through death. And I want to ask you this. What is your main purpose? What is your greatest dream for this coming year? That your will be done, or that God our Father will be done? So pray like that, though. Father, this is what I want. But I take my cross and I deny myself. I want your will be done and not my will. In this church, we have plans, we have dreams, but at the end, we want Christ's will be done, not our will. We have children that the Lord has given us, and we have dreams with them. We want to see them with certain things. Actually, before we have them, we have dreamed with them. We were so proud that we make plans, not having anything to make plans with. But Lord, this is my dream, my plan, but at the end, your will be done and not my will. He was redeemed for us, and he gave himself for us. My brothers, I just, in preparation for this, on these days, I confess to you, my prayer time has been affected by that. Because shamefully, I start praying and saying exactly the same thing I have been saying for the last 5 years at the beginning of my prayer. And that may be offensive to the name of God. But then I have been sitting there, sometimes just crying and waiting on God, and then praying carefully that his name, his glory may be known, that he may be exalted. I just want to apply that for the church. And I have asked 4 men from our church to pray for the glory of Christ according to his word for this church. And I invite you to do the same. So you see the word of God, this is the will of Christ, and whatever is here, that's his will. That is asked in his name. And then wait on him. I invite you to bow down and, you know, just to wait on God. And as we pray and these men lead us in prayer now, at the end of each one, since these are the word of Jesus in John 17, the church may say, in the name of Jesus, amen. Can we practice that in the name of Jesus, amen? 1, 2, 3. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hell tremble when the church prays like that. Amen.